Here's how fucked up my town was. I remember in 1980, when cell phones first came out, I'm like 10 years old, and I'm having breakfast at a friend's house. His mom is making us breakfast. And out of nowhere, and apropos of nothing we've been talking about, his mom turns around and says, if you guys ever get a cell phone, and you're in a black or Hispanic neighborhood, don't use it, because they'll...
But nobody ever tried to enforce copyright against them because it was understood as an industrial regulation. Copyright in the age of the printing press was also easy to enforce because it only had to be enforced where there was a publisher. And publishers, by their nature, make themselves known. If you're trying to sell books, you've got to tell people where to come to buy them. You don't have to go into everybody's house.
And scene 9, take 1. And action.
Welcome to the 21 Podcast, a show dedicated to sharing the knowledge and experience of making independent films.
Copyright. And finally, copyright may have been a beneficial system in that context. Copyright in the U.S. is considered by legal scholars as a trade, a bargain between the public and authors. The public trades away some of its natural rights to make copies, and in exchange gets the benefit of more books being written and published. Now, is this an advantageous trade?
Know you're rich and they'll kill you. And then went back to making us breakfast. I helped those kids out. I'm full of wisdom. You know, like, there's a... When you're growing up to a certain point, no matter what an adult says, it's just gospel. You know, it just, well, an adult said it, it must be true. And then there's that first thing where you go, I think that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, Frankie, stupid, I said 18. Yes, 18, I don't make the line. You want it or not? I don't want to hear a joke. Frankie, I don't want to hear it. I don't... Are you a lonely person? What's the matter with you?
Hey, Pop.
Oh, Christ, what happened to you? No, sorry, call me back. Who did this, Stewie? That Scheinberg kid again? I'll speak to his father.
No, it's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
You mean that move we talked about? How?
Drop some change. It worked perfect.
What'd you get him? Hey, Sally, Stewie got that fat-ass bully Scheinberg kid right in the tchotchkes. Oh, beautiful.
When the general public can't make copies because they can only be efficiently made on printing presses and most...
I'd like to do some writing with you, but I didn't bring any paper myself. Anyway, here's the idea.
This is always good. It's good to get chalk, hold it in your hand, move it around through the air, and sort of thing. I'm used to teaching, like, out for a living, I teach poetry writing to kids in, like, fourth, third grade. You know, So if you find me talking down at you, okay? Most of my students are like this tall, you know, and they just pull on my leg to get my attention. So I'm not used to being with, like, grown-up people.
SoCal's FM talk station.
I'm always late. I laugh for no reason. I like to watch Jeopardy with the sound off and make up my own questions. I know how you guys... I'm with you. Everyone on pot. Even their dog. Have you ever seen a pothead dog? Oh, man, it's sad. He's wearing sunglasses. He's got a bandana on like he's high. I don't make my dog live the drunk hell.
Own printing presses, the result is that the general public is trading away a freedom it is unable to exercise, a freedom that is of no practical value.
That was a dirty bag of laundry.
It's a byproduct of your life, and it's useless, and you have the opportunity to exchange it for something else of any value. So that's why copyright may have been an advantageous trade.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. We are Sirius Satellite Radio, Howard 100, Howard 101, 30. Hey now. Hey now to you.
Hey now.
Hello there.
Jerk.
Hey now.
So, Bob, why is a clean-cut American boy like you making fuck films? We're filmmakers.
Yeah, by the way...
Surprising image, but I did not in the least know what it was going to be.
Ground floors have opportunities that just fly under the radar screens, or just opportunities that they can't invest in because they're too big.
Well, the companies we invest in tend to be a little more typical venture capital investment. However, many of these are companies that received venture capital earlier in their lives, went public at a pretty rich valuation, and subsequently fell on hard times, not because of any problem of management nor anything wrong with the technology, but just because of a phenomenon I call market myopia. Maybe they predicted that they would earn $4 a share and they only earned $3.90, which is negligible in the scheme of things, but the market took that as negative and so the stock plunged.
So you're looking at real opportunistic returns based on market psychology gone awry.
That's right.
Take a look up.
Key point is we're not looking at the next quarter. We're looking at trading service. Look elsewhere. This is thing with a time frame of typically...
About to turn out the light when instantaneously I saw the solution.
Return an existing industry. And as you could imagine, can result in returns like 10, 20, sometimes even 100 times your money.
The possibility of a rough market ahead for U.S. research performing these times.
He had worked all day for me, come home dirty and tired in his work clothes. He was away all evening, which was unusual. He never left the house without telling us. I found him the next morning in a very grotesque, weird situation that I've never been able to cope with or understand yet. He was trussed up in a very unnatural position. Looked like it had been planned in some way. One hung like most people hang themselves by the neck from a rope. And the fact that he didn't have any clothes on, he was a modest boy. led me immediately to believe that there was some sex angle to it.
Mr. Grimm, do you recognize, sir, that booklet entitled Cartoon and Model Parade, published by Irving Claw, the Pinup King?
Yes.
Would you tell the subcommittee how you first came across a copy of this book?
Through a mutual friend who was interested in the case. I found very similar pictures of tying people up in this book that reminded me of my son's case.
I saw three soft watches, one of them hanging lamentably on the branch of the olive tree. When Gala returned from the theater, the picture was completed. I made her sit down in front of it with her eyes shut. One, two, three, open your eyes.
I'd never come across anything like that before. I was looking for a clue. I hadn't had the police into it. They let the case rest, said it was some sort of accident.
I looked intently at Gala's face, and I saw upon it the unmistakable contraction of wonder and astonishment.
Due to some impulse on the part of the boy. You know, I don't care what the police think. The way he was tied, it wasn't anything any youngster like him with his character could concoct himself. There wasn't any history of that. There's no similar action on his part. He led an outdoor life. He was active in the Boy Scouts from the time he was just a little bit of a fella.
Hello and welcome to the 21 Podcast. Mm-hmm. This is episode number 18, Productions Aids number 4 and 5 on Rise.
He'd only been home for 2 days from boys' camp in Tennessee when I found him. Now, I also feel that there is a definite evil to this, and I am bound and determined to do what I can to suppress it. This is not a healthy situation. It's not wholesome. There's nothing cultural about it. He's just no damn good. That's all I got to say about it.
Oh, my God.
Tonight I know that first things come first.
You will have forgotten this image.
Your guys are free to be a guy. From the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in the morning.
I got a better idea. How about you move out of your mom's house
to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank at work?
I've always been an ass man. Then I became a boob man. Now I'm a boob and ass man.
And Tom Likas driving you home.
Let them whore around. I couldn't care less. You know why? Because I'm whoring around.
Hey, we're here for you, guy.
I roll deep.
97.1 Free FM, SoCal FM talk station.
No one can forget it once he has seen it, she said. Darley coined the term paranoia criticism to describe the method he developed of searching his subconscious for images. He claimed that these images were beyond his control, but the other surrealists were beginning to find some of his notions quite unacceptable.
Is that your little whore, Runga?
You shouldn't be talking like that, Carmine.
Oh, what? You've got a lot of balls hanging around here.
All you have to do is change that thought into I want to, da 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 da. I should get some ice cream. So you change it into I want to get some ice cream, then ask you whether it's true. Ask yourself whether it's true.
Hello?
There's no way. I took today off to do the interview, and everybody's asked me, well, what do you have going on? I said, nothing.
A little R&R.
Yeah, it's got some things I need to take care of.
No, it's silly and it's stupid, man, but it's fucking funny.
Thank you. I really appreciate
Good
that.
Good luck keeping it a secret.
Write down in the book only the things that you want to do, and then you do them.
Oh, I want to show you. I see this. And maybe some families that are watching this are seeing this. Now let's look. at how we can change this. This, let's say this one is now five, and this one is, we've got to get through a little bit. We've got to get fully born here. Yeah, that's right. You're helpful in this birth. It's an easier one than the last one. Okay. All right. And this one is showing his distress by being hyperactive, and this one doesn't sleep at night, and this one has got gallbladder trouble, and this one doesn't isn't interested in sex. Can you see why? Well, never mind. And so first thing I can do is to ask them to each take a breath and see what part of their body they can move so they're standing on their own feet.
Thursday, July 20th, 2007. Hey, MacGeeks, it's time for your MacCast, the show for MacGeeks by MacGeeks. I'm Adam, and this is a show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to another episode of the MacCast. I am so glad to be back behind this microphone.
So take a breath and do this gently. And now, as you're standing on your own feet now, let yourself really be balanced. They did that beautifully.
We're filmmakers.
Really? Would I have seen something you've done?
Not unless you go to theaters in the Tenderloin.
You make foreign films?
We make important films.
To be back with you. It's been a little bit of a delay. I put a little message, a note out to you on the feed a couple days ago, and all I have to say is wow and thank you. The outpouring of support from you, from the rest of the MacCast community, has been overwhelming. It's also been uplifting and inspirational. I had a little bit of a trauma here in my life, and your thoughts and emails and nice comments on MacCast.com have really helped ease the pain of that, I guess, and just help me through that period of time, and I really appreciate that.
Just another $2 whore.
Thank you for that. You know, that said, it has passed. That event has passed, and
let go one of the other. I said, start with yourself in letting your own breath come and get yourself to your own feet. Now what they have done, you see, they have done this.
Now I've been afforded the opportunity of self-realization, realizing that they can be more than they presently are. We are seeing. That is fine. And so when you ask us why we come here, why extraterrestrial energy is interested in working with your planet, extraterrestrial energy assisted in forming your planet.
New metaphysics That's what is in the exalted state of unexaltation given to being these days. Everything's an action flick today. You can't fucking give being away. Nor get arrested having some. What are you gonna do, you know?
Clearly wrong. I gotta play a phony phone call for you. This is using Artie's dice argument.
Ooh.
Artie calling Ralph's Auto Repair. For some.
And so it is nothing new. Energy such as ours has been here from the beginning.
Gary Geiserman elongated near it. Just doing the old new metaphysics thing. It's not a podcast, so don't get alarmed. Not a radio show. It's not high, medium, low art. Not a commercial. There is some audio, however. Bear with that. And any excessive monotone beats, I apologize for. Hard to get away from that today. Harder than commercials, even. They're everywhere. Everywhere.
I was thinking about this yesterday.
Modern electronic music. They're cyborgs. I swear to you now. Some of you may be cyborgian. Watch out how much you marry the Matrix. Might give birth to some bolts and nuts. Screws involved.
I said I was sorry.
Might try hanging around a new Matrix near you. Matrix merely being a structure within which living can be fostered and do its living thing, you know, like a good program can emulate. But a good program just doesn't have the jizz and the receiving components that a authorized living emulation can have. You know, like you and me kind. It's about the only difference between man and machine. I mean, we already have men and women. Why do we need any more machines? Well, I'll tell you why.
It's not to say we, those that we represent, have been here from the beginning, for that is not the case. We are new energy compared to your forefathers.
A little echo audio going on, ambient style. Why do we have that noise in our show? Because I can't afford a better mic. That's why. Why can't I afford a better mic? That's another whole show. Don't worry, it will be recorded.
I'm sorry I'm not perfect like you.
And you will be available for it. I promise you. So help you God. Or if you prefer the female god, the goddess. Those of you who were into the Killer Instinct, I know I am. Or the...
Some of the stuff that some of these high-paid actors, of course, have paid for, you know, well for that type of thing. But the type of stuff that they themselves put...
Or
them,
all that is, if you're more into being one of those marginalized cats out on the boardwalk of life.
Fuck you.
Takes all kinds.
Fuck you.
Sometimes you have to fly by the seat of your pants. Wait for latency.
Bogota calling for talks with the rebel group FARC. Their paychecks from corporations such as Booz Allen, Raytheon, and others is not distinguished from that of government employees. So that brings up a huge national security vulnerability that one could very easily shape or nudge along U.S. national security policy, because this is the most important national security document that we have in this country.
Explain how the...
Now, don't lean forward on that sentence fragment, my friends. You might get both legs just yanked right out of you. This holographically projected VR pre-post sub and super machine. And don't forget the meta intra machines either. I'm gonna blow some webs off the top of that plane.
Here's the four cowboys of the apocalypse on the road with Polar Ice.
New Year's Eve is freaking depressing.
We're living one freaking depressing century and looking down the barrel of a whole new freaking millennium.
Do you want to get laced out of your skull?
Remember what the suits at Polar Ice say. You're gonna binge, don't binge alone.
Polar Ice, it's yellow because you're not.
Spent my whole life saying I'm sorry. Why not say it again?
Are okay now. Everything is totally fine. We are recovering very, very nicely.
I'm sorry.
And we are through the woods, but as I sort of noted in my message to you, it just serves as a reminder of how
too far over now. Seventh wave might just floor you.
I'm not a loser. I'm not some freak you hired off the street.
Three W's in the new metaphysics and smack a comma on the bottom of that. Modern parlance. Looking forward to be old. Because that'll mean there's some new parlance in town. Nothing wrong with that. Let's watch which matrix you marry, my friends. It might be a Catholic matrix, and it might be terminal. And if you happen to be Irish, also, it is terminal. Just trust me on that one. Some folks just aren't supposed to be lined up with certain things.
Performing sex acts, stacked in a pile of naked people and stripped of their dignity.
So just stand clear of police lines when they're implied. Watch and call.
Will you give me your word that you do not have a recording device in your briefcase?
Your shots. Your revolution. Before you move, make sure you choose.
Do you have the positions?
I have both ones.
Which theater would be walking on here?
The agreement was that you would provide an advance.
I know I snuck in, but come on.
With particular regard to any scars, deformities, or disabilities suffered by the victims.
The position is brought in good faith. Two others will come if the interview should prove satisfactory.
You realize how unjust all this is. Mrs. Maloney has been married to an American citizen for 27 years. She has two children, one grandchild. I suppose this can be...
That is sick.
Ugh, are you watching this?
No, thanks. I don't look anymore.
Oh, maybe we'll go to another theater. Hold on.
We will keep the interview brief. We will discuss only my client's activities in America between...
That was my first thing. That was the first time I can clearly remember going, they don't kill you for your fucking cell phones. And by the way, this was 1980. Return of the Jedi was yet to come out. So for three more years, I thought Chewbacca was real. So there was a three-year period where I was like, two things I know for sure. Chewbacca's real, and black people don't kill you for your cell phone. That's the two things I've learned in my time on this planet. Although now I live in Los Angeles and I have a cell phone, and whenever I'm in a black or Hispanic neighborhood, it stops working. Like, is that a Sprint feature I miss? The misinformed racist mom call drop feature where you're talking to your friend, the phone's like, Mexicans, beep! Oh, God damn it. What the fuck?
This could be a rough one.
Dies ist die Geschichte einer Gesellschaft. Während sie fällt, darf sie sich beruhigen immer wieder. Bis hierher lief's noch ganz gut. Bis hierher lief's noch ganz gut. Bis hierher lief's noch ganz gut.
Not happening these days.
Sondern die Landung.
A lot of agenda. Shows in lossless now. That means regular to you and me. Instead of that digital subtraction. I mean, digital's enough of a subtraction as it is. Let's at least have all the ones and odds. And do it again, please. And thank you, Father. May I have another kind of living program food. Apple lossless for now. Mainly because you can play it as is. You don't have to resuscitate it back to a... AIF or WAV file. You can play her as is on iTunes, on an iPod, on probably some other players. If you can't, then just jam it in there and take it back out as a WAV, AIF, or an MP3 of your choice, bitrate wise. I love it. New metaphysics finally back where it belongs. With regular, limited digital audio sound, nothing more subtracted. Pretty soon we'll have the real thing, but That's only for real things, so get to work. Get to a Matrix near you. That's a good one. There is one. Go to Matrix Maps. Print it out. Have it stamped on your midbrain, my friends. There's a lot going on, a lot of agendas today. Remember to round off all those corners before you jam it in somewhere. Even if it's digital, you can still round her.
Life is, and that life is short, and we need to make sure that we're...
Here's how fucked up my town was. I remember in 1980, when cell phones first came out, I'm like 10 years old, and I'm having breakfast at a friend's house.
You will ask nothing about the charges against her or about any event that occurred during or directly after the war. One question of that nature, and I will immediately terminate the interview.
Don't ever fuck with a lesbian or challenge a German to a digital divide. I swear to you, you know what I'm talking about.
Expel partially digested food so that some of the whole bacteria and protozoa that's in the fecal material can be passed on as food.
In the 1930s, the radical movements really reached the height of their power and influence over the American people. In a certain sense, McCarthyism was based on a half-truth. That is, McCarthyism exaggerated, you know, the existence of a communist movement in the United States. But it was also true that the communist and socialist movements had influenced a lot of people and gotten them to think about the power of big business and the need to organize against it.
So sure you want to do that.
Deal the cards.
I gotta bet you $5,000, Mario.
Raise $5,000.
Well, I don't know what you're betting, Mario, but I got a call.
Now, you could be a good player and do the right thing all the time and do okay. But a great player knows when to make a move.
That did it. Bet you 20 grand.
You got pocket aces.
No, Mario, I don't. But I'll tell you what I'll do. You give me one of those black checks over there, I'll turn over whichever one of these two cards you'd like to see. No, on the square. I mean, hell, you've had a rough night, you know.
That one.
This one.
Son of a bitch. You got a full house. Two's full of threes. That's why you let me look. They're both the same. You lucky bastard.
Mm. Nice draw.
Well, not exactly.
Oh, my fucking God. You could have turned either one. Jesus, what a bluff.
No, that is just plain historic, DJ. You did it. Cocktail.
Unbelievable.
You bet 20 grand. See it coming?
Some players make fucking magic. That's all.
Now, he was a hard-working poet. He was known in 59 as King of the Little Magazines. He sends out thousands of poems without carbons. Didn't even get them back. So he was known even then.
I use the street for racetracks, laundry. Sometimes I'm taking my laundry to the laundry. I keep driving all the way to the racetrack almost because I'm so used to going to the racetrack. I say, hey, wait a minute.
But I went to the racetrack to use as a substitute for drinking. I was going to give up drinking and just use the racetrack. Mm-hmm. I had a girlfriend there, and I said, well, I can't drink. What am I going to do? She said, well, there are horses. I said, horses? What's that? She says, you go to the track, and they race against each other. I said, how stupid. I mean, they have horses, and they run against each other? She says, yeah, you bet on them. I said, God, that's so ignorant. I'm there almost every day.
This would have been back in the mid-50s. His idea was he was going to quit his job and follow the track wherever the horses were running, Del Mar, Hollywood Park, Santa Anita, and just be a full-time gambler. He went to the track initially in his life to try to make a killing so he could quit whatever he was doing and write full-time. Which, of course, never happened.
The nest chamber is like listening to birds in a forest. There's constant tweaks and whistles and grunts that are going on inside of the colony. So there's a language, for sure there's a language. And in tunnel systems, squeaks and grunts work very well.
The use of psychologists in helping corporations market to children is very troubling. Psychologists are supposed to do good. They're supposed to help people. Marketing to children doesn't help them. It's not helpful to them. And psychologists are useful to marketers in all sorts of ways. They have a good handle on child development, which corporations can exploit. So psychologists know a lot about teenagers and know about teenagers being rebellious and can help corporations plan strategies that will exploit that rebelliousness, exploit developmental vulnerabilities. So that's one thing. That's one way. They can also help corporations understand what children like and don't like. They can also conduct market research and focus groups and help corporations understand the results of the focus group. But it's a real twist on what all those skills are, are supposedly for.
A rule that seriously violates our basic First Amendment right to peaceably assemble. Now, everyday sidewalk and street uses are illegal. Even if you're not in New York, Know that now that this has happened here, it may happen where you live, for the NYPD is the most highly trained and modeled after police force in the country. Here's the finalized rule, which goes into effect February 25th. Groups of 50 or more pedestrians, vehicles, or cyclists must get a permit and approved route from the NYPD or can be arrested for parading without a permit, even if they obey all traffic rules. But the City Council can undo this. So thanks to everybody who called in, and please, to voice your concern, here's the number. City Council Speaker Quinn, 212-788-7210. That's 212-788-7210. More info is at assemblyforrightsnyc.org. The police are becoming part of the legislative branch of government. It's up to us.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI. The time is 7 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if I could, they would. Bundy McMahon, for the best, expect the worst. I hope it's understood, Bundy McMahon.
Panama is another example of destroying a country to save it. And it's another case of how the United States has exercised a might make right doctrine among smaller countries of the third world.
And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, where the usual mayhem is breaking out all around us. Let's see who's in the studio right now. Looks like Jim over there.
It is.
And we have Redbird.
Good evening.
Mike joining us over on that side of the room.
Hi.
Bernie S. down in Philadelphia.
Greetings from a park bench by Independence Hall.
And a special guest in the studio tonight, Lynn. Wait a minute, hold on. You don't have a microphone for some reason. Look. Could someone check that connection, please?
I couldn't hear myself either.
Well, I hear you just fine, but there's something wrong with his mic. Sure. No, that mic is not working. You're going to have to share a mic with Jim.
Hey,
move over
how's
here.
Going?
Okay, you're Lynn, and you're here from, where are you from today?
I just came from Philadelphia yesterday.
Okay, good
so
for you.
So Bernie and I had Vietnamese.
Did you? All right, well, I won't probe into that. Grand Central has been evacuated, and the subway line on Lexington Avenue has been suspended. It doesn't exist. Somebody sent us information about this, how you can actually request particular bits of surveillance data if you happen to be caught inside it, which I think is kind of a nifty thing.
Long been U.S. practice to invade these countries, get what we want, and leave the people that live there to kind of rot.
His mom is making us breakfast, and out of nowhere, and apropos of nothing we'd been talking about, his mom turns around and says, if you guys ever get a cell phone and you're in a black or Hispanic neighborhood, don't use it, because they'll know you're rich and they'll kill you.
Gone with the wind, gone like a leaf that has blown away, gone.
It seems to end on a basis which is indecisive, but I clearly remember, and you and my saying that the White House can't do it was my last words, because I had gone through the whole scenario with the thing. I laid it out. I said, look, what would it cost? I mean, when you're talking about all of these people, what would it cost to take care of them?
Well, no,
I mean, I talked about $1 million. And I said, well, you could raise the money, but doesn't it finally get down to a question of clemency? And he said, yes. I said, well, you can't provide clemency. And that would be wrong, for sure. Now, if clemency is the bottom line, then providing the money is the thing to make it.
Taking advantage of every moment, even those small little ones, to recognize how cool the world is. And this podcast is part of the things that I look around and go, wow, this is amazing. 2.5 years ago, or almost 3 years ago now, when I started the MacCast, I never would have thought this is where I would be sitting today with all of you listening to me and just this large circle of friends throughout the globe. And that is amazing. And there's little events and big events in our lives that are amazing too. And we just need to make sure we take the pauses and we take the moments to recognize those. So thank you, everyone. I think we should just dive in because we got stuff to get to. This is the MacCast, and we got Mac stuff to talk about.
Hey now, good morning, everybody. What's happening? It's Wednesday. Talk it to me. Well, you know, good morning, everyone. Where do I begin? Well, first of all, I'll tell you that Dr. Keith Abelow is coming today, and he will counsel myself and Beth about our upcoming nuptials.
Artie is afraid that this will damage your relationship.
This is a perfect example of... I think that's the most fascinating radio bit ever for fans of the show. Like, I woke up today saying, wow, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to end Howard and Beth's happiness.
Oh, no.
I don't think it is going to be interesting. In fact, I said to Gary, I'll do it in the interest of the show. But
don't you think as a fan, can't you see why a fan would be really interested?
Well, of course. That's why.
Why would you think it would be interesting?
Because it's going to be a dud. I'm going to go, look, we don't argue. I like her. And
no,
but
he's going to ask you questions. He's not going to say, well, do you argue?
These guys know how to get shit out of here.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't want to be non-cooperative. I will certainly be cooperative, but...
And I hope you will open up and be honest with every question.
But I think it's going to be boring.
Well, you were the very one who used to love, I forget the talk show host's name, who used to bring a psychiatrist on.
Stanley Siegel.
Stanley Siegel used to come out, that's right, Fred, very good. He used to come out with his psychiatrist, and he would do sessions on the air, yeah, but they were a little jive.
Yeah.
Were they? Because I thought you liked them. I never saw them.
It was a good idea.
Have you ever been in a crowded bar, and all the bar stools are taken? Have you ever been in a crowded bar, and all the bar stools are taken? And, you know, when you get the bar stools, you're kind of lazy, you don't want to get up, you don't want to lose that good spot, right? Have you ever been in a crowded bar and all the bar stools are taken? And you know, when you get the bar stool, you're kind of lazy. You don't want to get up. You don't want to lose that good spot right at the bar. So you kind of sit there. Well, we would send in leaners, what we call leaners. And what a leaner does is they kind of lean over because the bar is crowded, maybe three deep. They kind of tap that person on the bar stool, tap them on the shoulder, and say, "Hey, would you mind getting me a Brand X Cosmopolitan?" Whatever. So. That person would say, most times say, sure. So our leaner would give that person money. That person sitting at the bar still would call the bartender and say, "Hey, can I have a Brand X Cosmopolitan?" The bartender makes it. Now the bartender's involved. They make the drink, whatever it may be. They hand it back to the person. The person then pays the bartender. Now they had an interaction with the brand. Then they take the drink and they hand it back to the leaner. If they're even remotely human, they're going to say, "Hey, what is... Have you ever been in a crowded bar and all the bar stools are taken?" And, you know, when you get the bar stools, you kind of lazy. You don't want to lose that good spot right in the bar. So you kind of sit there. But we would send in leaners, what we call leaners. Have you ever been in a crowded bar and all the bar stools are taken?
Reckless, I help those kids out. I'm full of wisdom. You know, like, when you're growing up to a certain point, no matter what an adult says, it's just gospel.
May be. They hand it back to the person. The person then pays the bartender. Now they had an interaction with the brand. Then they take the drink and they hand it back to the leaner. Have you ever been in a crowded bar and all the bar stools are taken? And you know, when you get the bar stool, you're kind of lazy. You don't want to get up. You don't want to lose that good spot right at the bar. So you kind of sit there. Well, we would send in leaners, what we call leaners. And what a leaner does is they kind of lean over because the bar is crowded, maybe three deep. Then kind of tap that person on the bar stool, tap them on the shoulder and say, "Hey, would you mind getting me a Brand X Cosmopolitan, whatever?" So, that person would say, most times say, sure. So our leaner would give that. I was doing a live radio show, and a woman called in and said, "Well, this has been going on forever. My grandfather..."
Two people in Atlantean times decided that they had this compatibility and wished to share their lives together.
Father, you know, 50 years ago, he had the concession at the local carnival, and he paid my sister.
they did was they went to the great temple of Atlantis to either a high priest or a high priestess.
And I, in popcorn and cotton candy, to walk around the carnival and eat popcorn. I was doing a live radio show, and a woman called in and said,
the case may be, and a union was performed. There was not a marriage ceremony and flop.
Well, this has been going on forever. My grandfather, you know, 50 years ago, he had the concession at the local carnival, and he paid.
Thrown to the bridesmaids and all of that stuff. It was very much of a spiritual nature, without any religion.
I was doing
religion.
A live radio show,
people
and a woman called in and
said, involved in religious expression
well,
as we know it now.
This has been going on forever. My grandfather,
they all understood
you know,
that they were all
the
children of God, and that they were all sisters and brothers,
and
there was no need for this isolation of expression, because they weren't there basically for their common evolution.
And so really, the union people, was you do it every day. You just don't realize that you're doing it. I mean, you do it. We're just kind of paying people to do it.
And
I can guarantee you like us.
To
pay you, do what you do every day.
Once in a while, what happened was, as the result of abnormal growth.
May 5th, 2007. You're listening to Nowhere of Mulberry, episode 78.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
Accelerated growth, let's call it, by one of the parties in the union. What they had to share that had started out like this being compatible all of a sudden was like this. And one of them just began to outgrow and express in other areas.
Take a look overhead. Hey there goes a Spider-Man.
Have you ever been in a crowded bar and all the bar stools are taken? And you know, when you get the bar stool, you're kind of lazy. You don't want to get up. You don't want to lose that good spot right at the bar. So you get there. Well, we send in your call leader. Leader, because the bar is crowded, maybe three deep. Then kind of tap that person on the bar stool, tap them on the shoulder, and say, "Hey, would you mind getting me a Brand X Cosmopolitan or whatever?" So that person would say, most times, say sure. So our leaner would give that person money. That person sitting at the bar stool would call the bartender and say, "Hey, can I have a Brand X Cosmopolitan?"
What is it?
Bartender makes it. Now the bar.
Forget about it. It's like if you agree with someone, you know, like Raquel Welch is one great piece of ass. Forget about it. But then, if you disagree, like a Lincoln is better than a Cadillac, forget about it. Mm-hmm. You know. But then it's also like if something is the greatest thing in the world, like Mingo's peppers.
Bartenders evolve. They make they make the drink, whatever it may be. They hand
like
it back to the person. The person then pays the bars, and then now they've had an interaction. And they take the drink.
Hey, Bully's got a one-inch pepper, and Bully says, "Forget about it."
Remotely human, they're gonna say, "Hey, Bully, what is Brand X? I never heard of him." Bang! They just open the door for us to deliver that soundbite.
Sometimes it just
and
means,
if they like that product, that cat. Let's say it's a vodka. If they like vodka, they might order it next time. If they hate vodka, they'll never order it. So it's kind of that undercover. And again, when you go in with leaners, you can watch. Send in three leaners into a busy bar. You can watch within an hour. Everybody's ordering that drink. Anybody who's ordering that category, whether vodka, gin, scotch, whatever, they're all ordering that brand as a result of the leaner. Because again, it's very real. It's very, very natural. But if they don't like the taste, they'll never order it again.
Come for you at night.
What?
They come for you at night.
Who does?
They do.
Big news this past week was Apple's second quarter earnings, and they turned out better than expected. Apple had its quarterly earnings call for its stockholders, and they showed profits of 92 cents a share, which was 9 cents better than Wall Street was expecting, and 26 cents better than Apple's own predictions. So they did very well in the quarter. Peter Oppenheimer confirmed that Apple sold 270,000 iPhones in the first 2 days, which were at the end of the quarter. You know that AT&T reported they had 146,000 activations for that same time period. So that was from Friday at 6 p.m. Through Saturday at midnight. As far as Apple's earnings went, they had a 73% increase in profit over the same time period last year, a profit of $818 million on $5.4 billion in revenue. Mac shipments were up 33%, and Apple sold 1.3 million notebooks in the quarter, along with 634,000 desktops.
Yeah. And so then notebooks. I try to make a theory that fits the data. I go the other way, work the other way.
So that's the way you developed your... What?
New Metaphysics. Back from our 47-minute commercial break. Ready for 3 more minutes of programming, and then the next pre-programmed 47-minute commercial break. Now, because the last one was 47 minutes, and this one isn't longer, it will seem shorter. So you'll get the illusion that we're having less commercial break, and you will feel a faintly real sense of euphoria holding over and branded semi-translucently with our program and its family of products. That's the 47-minute break area. Another 2.5 minutes of actual program. Get this over quickly. Back to the real program. Pay for my daughter's college education in Thailand. I had that backwards.
You know what? As the show goes on, because I get that fucking, it's like doing coke. I get that shot of adrenaline from that guy, and now I'm going to crash if I don't do. So every 15 minutes or so, when I look like I need to pump, just start fucking screaming out like you'll be waiting. Cigarette, anyone?
Watch out for a commercial break. Watch out.
That's the mayor. Baltimore is the capital of, it's usually, and even like Florida, they always claim, to, every town claims to be the most titty bars per capita. If you ever were Jacksonville or Florida, Houston, they all, Phoenix has it, it's the herpes capital and the fucking syphilis capital and the heroin capital, and then they could.
How you doing?
Mark, you look like a nice guy. You look like a young guy. Are you a young guy?
Yeah, 21.
21. What's going on? How'd you end up homeless?
I got kicked out of my house.
Right.
Do you have anything a little different?
Not sure I get your drift.
Do you have anything with unusual footwear?
Heels? Boots?
Leather boots. With laces? Very good, yes, I'll take that. Do you have any other material that shows restraint?
It's a big favorite among certain customers. The model's very popular.
Do you have any more pictures like this?
Holding the shoots for the...
Well, when I was doing my 20 years ago working on my master's thesis on cattle shoots, I went out to about 15 different feed yards in the state of Arizona, and I noticed cattle would easily go through one chute really easily, another chute they'd walk. So I got down in the chutes and I actually walked.
Momentum, or rather your drive, though its momentum at times faulty, has now become momentum enough.
first a white American female orally copulates a white American male for 2 minutes. And then the white American female leaves the room and a black American female enters and she copulates with a bedpost.
Heroin, and ended up on the streets, and and ended up on the streets, I kicked out of my house for doing heroin. And ended up on the streets.
To get you through. To live a life. Well, you do have rewarding friendships, intimate relationships, etc.
I also feel that there is a definite evil to this, and I am bound and determined to do what I can to suppress it.
And I've been running the streets in New York for about a year.
It's not a healthy situation.
And before that was on and off, but parents took me back, and then finally, they said enough, and,
it's not wholesome. There's nothing cultural about it. It's just no damn good. That's all I got to say about it.
Now I got a heroin addiction.
You're still on heroin?
Yeah.
You have enough of your needs met. All of them are met to a varying degree. Are you surviving? Are you secure? Do you belong? Do you have esteem? A sense of creation? A sense of meaning? Productive meaning? Aesthetics? A sense of beauty, of symmetry, of asymmetry, of esoterics, of spirituality in your life? Yes, you have.
And what do you have to do to get money for her? When you got to do tricks and stuff?
Tricks?
You know what I mean?
Not all of each, but enough.
Sex?
You have to do guys, right?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a pain.
Dude, right now.
Are you gay?
No, not at all.
No, he just loves heroin. That's how good heroin is.
It's like that short, fat guy I saw one time over in Coney Island. I've only been to Coney Island 2 times. And it's significant to report that each of the 2 times brought a cleaner milestone in my life. If you look around, you can see these milestones everywhere. Now, they're not really milestones. They're just small toothpicks sticking out at random from the vast canopy of existence.
Could become more secure. We're not sure how you could survive more. Be doubly alive, triply. Breathe twice as fast. But you survive until you don't. You could be more secure and could belong, we suppose, better. But see, the point we're making is you have enough of each of these. And you know of love. Working with us, we know you know of love. You have enough of what you need. And of the many things you desire, you do have enough of your desire. You are happier than you have ever been. Not as happy as you want to be or will be, but than you have ever been. Now, maybe the child and adolescent in you isn't. But you're not them. You're an adult. But you have enough. And your momentum now, faulty as it can be, certainly so. You have momentum enough.
Oh my God. Tonight I know that first things come first. And the most important thing of all is that men and women and young people surrender their lives to Christ. God, don't let a mother's boy who heard me preach here tonight go to hell. Don't let a mother's girl who heard me tonight go to hell. Don't let a daddy or a mother who heard me preach tonight go to hell. Save them! Save them tonight from all their sins. May they be born again, washed in the blood, saved through and through without the loss of any, I pray.
Can live this life happily.
Honestly, Doctor.
Hi, Robin.
Hello.
There is that question.
Yeah, why would I argue with her? What is
well,
to argue about?
Well, he's here to make you argue.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that you'd argue with her.
I'm in love with her. She looks great. She is great. She's a great person. Why would I argue with this woman?
Well, she's magnificent, right? But the bottom line is, arguments come from a couple different places. It might not be that you're taking issue with her. It might be that she takes issue with something that you have to say or think or feel.
All right. Well,
and
then
he's looked at you and he says, anybody could argue with you.
Also, when you're at the end of a bell curve and you say you never argue, right? Because that's the consultation I've been asked to
Dr. Abelow, you said in your email to Gary, and by the way, before we get into this, didn't you write a long email to Dana, Artie's ex-girlfriend, recently?
I did.
How long ago?
This was about 2 weeks ago.
Please record REM sleeper in room 172409.
Okay, zooming out of 06-12-21. And zooming in to 17-24-9er.
Amen. Did you get saved tonight? Didn't quite make it, but you came up and made a stand, didn't you? What's your name?
Betty.
Are you ready for me to pray for you, Betty?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Hot patching gear works and flipping to REM reader mode. Locating subject. Subject located. Zooming in.
We're on the clock. Are we locked?
Locked on.
Thank you.
Oh, Father, we ask that you deliver this woman from sin. Destroy it by the Spirit of God. Heal her through and through, including her heart. Make her a new creature in Christ.
Arm extension. Go.
Calibrating. Steady.
I got it.
Light her up.
What did you say?
A wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Did it come then?
Yes, sir, I believe it did.
What did it feel like?
It was a lifting up.
You felt a lifting up? Well, amen.
Interscan is locked. Commencing REM read.
Okay. Yeah, let's cycle back. And there you have it. Oh, you do this long enough, you could do it in your sleep.
Well, first of all, that's very nice of you. And secondly, I know she loves you, but
Dana, again, she doesn't always get emails. She's been going through a crazy time. But if you want, I'll reach out and see what's...
No. I was...
Thank you very much. I got it. Let me tell you something. I don't get this bow for Lefty. What?
Forget about it?
Forget about it. B-A bay, B-E-B, B-I bicky by B-O bo, bicky by bo, B-U boo, bicky by bo boo.
Client meeting, and I'm thinking, boy, if they only knew what was going on tomorrow.
Fame has its sacrifices, Brad, and we're willing to make that sacrifice.
That's right. We have to get the message out, all of us.
Now, speaking of getting the word out, where can the listeners go to check out your music?
The website address is www.
They're kept on their toes by constant target practice, and they have orders to shoot to kill at any suspicious stranger.
A highly trained and well-equipped North Korean army swarmed across the 38th parallel to attack unprepared South Korean defenders. Caught off guard, they were all but overwhelmed.
It's a story about this woman named Gloria. That would be you. Who gets kidnapped from her hotel.
The United Nations took its historic vote to intervene.
Taken to a secret sex club. Or she's met by a group of women who strip her. Now, I know that sounds like rape, but hold on.
The end of the war seemed in sight as the Allies pushed north toward the North Korean capital of Pyongyang. Then it happened.
No one gets raped, no one gets hurt. One of the women tells her to loosen up. This could be the best experience of her life.
Chinese Red Armies, numbering hundreds of thousands, swarmed over the frontier against thinly held United Nations positions.
So she starts to relax. She realizes that she's always fantasized about something like this happening to her.
Confronted by overwhelming numbers, UN armies were forced into inevitable retreat.
Plus, she doesn't speak for the entire film, so it's like a silent picture throwback. It's really a great acting role. You see, Gloria is scared and fascinated concurrently. And she has to convey that conflict with her face and her body. This is a real movie.
Fuck you.
I think more in the southeast, the college campuses in the southeast.
Well, it sounds like fun for the whole family. Let's take a listen to a bit of Hot Nuts by Doug Clark, the Hot Nuts.
Now in the Garden of Eden sat Eve and Adam, had his hands on the loins of his madam. He smiled with mirth, cause he knew that on earth there was only two nuts, and he had them. Now, many young girls here, you better start walking, because my friend John and I will do some fancy talking.
Hot nuts, hot nuts, you get the monkey nuts, yeah, hot nuts, you get them anywhere you can.
Now, you see that man with the sad expression, he lost his nuts in the last depression. Hot nuts.
What truth? That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Named Mr. Clean, cleans his nuts in a washing machine.
Nuts. Hot nuts. You get the
Rolling.
Speed.
Car 15, take one, marker.
And action.
Hot nuts. You get them anywhere you can.
See that man take off like a rocket? He caught his nuts in an electric socket.
Nuts. Hot.
Gary Geiserman here. Just asking you if you want to buy it. Three paragraphs, slap on the back, and off you go now. 3wsnewmetaphysics.com. It's covered. And in this system, that's saying something. This, the receding, bottomless bucket of well water goes all the way to the center and then all the way to the bottom, which is somebody else's top. But you get the picture. You've been institutionalized. You get the imply. I don't have to spell for you.
Can we ever be a democratic society when we have privately held wealth that is unaccountable, that is larger today than the gross domestic product of many countries? No country, no democracy can stand up to such tremendous concentrations of wealth. Therefore, we need to break them up. We need to make them socially accountable.
It out for you.
The cool hunting industry didn't even exist before 1993.
The cool hunting industry didn't even exist before 1993. It sort of exploded just over the course of the decade. Essentially, the premise is that corporations don't understand what young people want, and that there needs to be a kind of middleman industry that will be the liaison between youth culture and the brands to explain and decode, so that these companies are better able to create brand images that are direct reflections of youth culture. And of course, the time span between when something is a genuine idea, genuinely sort of independent, organic idea within youth culture, and when it is sold back as a brand has become so compressed that it's completely insignificant. But cool hunters sort of comb the back alleys of our culture, interview kids, videotape them. It's basically corporate journalism. But what's interesting to me is that in reading the literature of the Cool Hunters, what they predict is that because young people are so cynical about marketing, this is, of course, the premise of all marketing, that we all hate marketing and that we need a new campaign that's going to break through that cynicism.
You know, like any good program, three key concepts to emulate living organism here in a dimensional space-time, so-called. Gotta eat, gotta fuck, gotta feel guilty.
So nobody is more aware of the backlash against marketing than the marketers themselves. It's the guiding principle.
Taking something outside the incorporated illusion of selfness, physicality.
Behind all cutting-edge marketing.
Got to know who you are so you can do what you just did and know what that was so you can do it to it. Already we're into the three dimensions right there. I forget the third one, but I think I hit it with the imply.
And so now that impulse is now just being applied to anti-corporate politics. It's, you know, okay, so you're cynical, you're angry at corporations, you feel they're taking over your lives, we'll just co-opt that and sell that back to you. I am really not convinced that it's going to be effective. I believe that what young people in particular are reacting against is this very process of co-optation. And that co-opting that feeling, that anger at being co-opted, only makes it more militant.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is.
Have you ever been in a crowded bar and all the bar stools are taken? And you know, when you get the bar stool,
pride in developing relationships. They'll walk you through the process and answer all of your questions.
The definition of a sweatshop is violation of wage and hour laws. But that doesn't put the human face on it. Technically, the definition of a sweatshop is violation of wage and hour laws. But that doesn't put the human face on it. So when you're talking about sweatshops in a place like Bangladesh, for example, you're talking about young women, 16 to 25 years of age, locked in factories behind barbed wire with armed guards. You're talking about people working from 8 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, for wages of about 8 to 18 cents an hour. And if those women try to defend their rights, they're immediately cut down and fired and blacklisted. And it gets even worse. These women, they come in when they're like 16, they work to about 25, at which point they're fired because they're used up, they're worn out, their lives are already over. And the company's replaced them with another crop of young girls. So I mean, when you really put a face on the sweatshop issue, that's what it's like. And when you're in the shop issue, that's what it's like. And living conditions, we've been to the homes of young women who made our clothing in Bangladesh and Honduras, but I'll use the example of Bangladesh, young women who make our clothing. And we went to a woman's house. She had just worked 120 hours that week. In fact, in the last 3 days, she had worked 64 hours, all night shifts, 3 days in a row. You go to her house, and she lived in a dirt floor 8-by-10-foot hut made out of thatch and cardboard. And there was a dirt floor. Four people lived in that little tiny hut, about 8-by-10. There was one bed right in the dirt. There was one wardrobe right in the dirt. And she told us that when it rains, they piled up dirt around the edge of the hut because sewage races through their house when it rains. Then she said, at night, when it rains, you have to sit up all night under an umbrella because there's no dry spot in the house. Now, this woman makes our clothing. She's working 120 hours a week, and yet she lives in these conditions of utter, utter misery.
Boldest action in terms of, call it, you know, pandering to Nevada voters or just really taking on this issue, she's actually called for congressional hearings, like now.
Just stutter stepping along. Alternating the stutter with a stammer. Like all those people in talk media who are really writers, not speakers, as their forte. They're cross-editing themselves as they go. Of course, with the institutionalization at work, the capital I imply. So they're self-censoring with an extra one on there, little grand stepchild at the end. Echo at the beginning. Go down about a third into a partial ratio altered dimension with all of its mirrors and echoes in at least two plus quadrants, emulating three, thus to stand tall and repeat. I said,
why they were blocking, I'd take my camera and take pictures.
Hey, are you, what are you doing now? Are you on heroin? You go, you're gonna be, you close to withdrawals? What's going on?
I'll be. Be close to withdrawals today.
Yeah. So you need a fix by when, you think?
I did a shot last night, so.
You're going to need one by like 6, 7 o'clock tonight, right?
Probably around 2 o'clock.
Seem like
around
a nice guy, a bright guy. Can you believe this is happening to you? I mean, no. Probably your whole life you heard, don't do heroin.
Exactly.
And you ended up doing it. How'd you end up doing it?
Shit
happens, right.
Yeah, how that do you, guy knows.
Wrong place at the wrong time.
Bad friends, is
bad
that
friends,
it? They
wrong
got you
place,
into
wrong
it?
Wrong time.
Is there anything?
Do you do the needle?
Yeah.
Do you have any clue as to, like, maybe... Sorry, brother, what'd you say?
I said, I'm messing with the spoon, they got dripped to the moon.
You know, you sound like Pharrell. All right, let me get to his story so that he has
he's
a
he's doing
a
the
shot.
Skinner song, Needle in a Spoon.
That's right, Needle in the
very
Spoon.
Very nice.
Are you on heroin as well over there? No, you're not. Okay, all right.
I wish I was.
So how much money do you think you spend a week on the heroin?
I spend like $120 a day.
So it shows
you remember something. Before all of this.
Not much. Yesterday I made $180 in a few hours.
Wow, no kidding.
Panhandling.
Yeah.
So at 2 o'clock today.
How many times did you have to like blow?
See why they were blocking. I'd take my camera and take pictures. And I found in one feed yard, the reason was the orientation to the sun. In another feed yard, they were seeing a shadow.
So you put yourself in the position and visualize.
That's right.
So then they separated. They began separating the donor and the DNA. They said, how far can we separate?
Absolutely. Scholarly edition about her work, which is from Continuum Books in London and New York. It's out right now, and Annie Sprinkle is about to go on the road on a book tour.
You're thinking of not putting him in the show?
Something as original as this, you don't toss out with the rest of the garbage.
Yeah, well, I say originality without purpose is a white elephant, but if money is your purpose, here's your refund. My compliments.
What are you going to do with him?
Put him where he belongs. In the show business.
It was certainly my good fortune running into you.
First, how that intelligence is gathered, and then how it's presented to him.
The intelligence is gathered by the 16 different intelligence agencies by statute that make up the intelligence community. That would include more familiar CIA, the NSA, Defense Intelligence, some CIFA, various intelligence agencies, the National Counterterrorism Center. And each of those, the analysts, people gather the product of the intelligence. In some cases, things have been outsourced, like in the CIA, the actual case officers are outsourced. Gather that intelligence. It goes to analysts. In the case of the CIA, the Directorate of Intelligence, acquaintances tell me that over half is run by private corporations or staff, the workforce is staffed by private corporations, with really analytical supervisors signing off on it. So they all gather the intelligence in the field, which much of that is gathered by private corporations. In these 16 different intelligence agencies, it's put into analytical products that talk about what the major topics or issues are in the different regions. It's funneled up to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which sifts through this and determines which are the most important pressing issues. And those are taken and put into the President's daily brief, which the Director of National Intelligence briefs the President on each day. I mean, we're all, I think, familiar with the President's daily brief, if nothing else, from that famous, I believe it was August 6th, daily brief from 2001, Bin Laden determined to strike in the U.S. It's meant to be able to give a heads up to the President, to the top.
All right. Contestant number two is Jerry. Wow. That was some segment.
I shouldn't have said. This is terrible.
No, it's all right.
It's okay, Artie. You're not doing it now.
No.
You're off it.
I shouldn't have said this.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think you said anything wrong.
No, this is one time I'm bummed out.
Oh, you are? Then sit down and relax.
I'm bummed out about it.
Artie, so what? You've had your problems. Everybody knows.
We all knew you had your problems, and you...
C-H-A-C-E-C-C-I-C-K-S-I-C-O-S-O-C-K-S-I-S-O-C-U-S-U-C-K-S-I...
I figured out how I would start this way. This is about poetry writing, because I'm a poet, really, and that's really all I'm interested in. There seemed to me, like, I was thinking recently, like, the kind of two kinds of poetry, you know, I mean, there's any kind of, there are two kinds of, it's wrong always, you know, like the two kinds of walnuts and two kinds of people. It's ridiculous, but they're with the idea anyway. Okay, two kinds of poetry. Two kinds of poetry. Now, one of the kinds is kind of preconceived. You know, that's where the writer will say, "I have an idea." You know, like he's in love with a woman, or he's in love with a goat, love with something, or let's say he feels unhappy. Usually, a lot of poetry comes out of being unhappy. You know, like, my stomach hurts, or I'm going to die tomorrow, or my mother hates me, or something like that, you know. Or the idea is that they have a preconceived notion of a message they want to convey. Okay, you have this message, you know, like fear of death or something. Then they take the idea and they make a poem which will embody that idea. So it goes from idea to finding a kind of vehicle. And usually the kind of poetry that's written, it's cut and dried, that is, you know, they know the kind of poem they want to write. Kind of idea, and then they just have to find the right rhyme scheme and rhythm and everything to fit it, you know. And then they make this very well-crafted, quite often, well-crafted poem. Poets such as Richard Wilbur does that beautifully, does it beautifully.
Stuff. And so that really intrigued me, and I listened to them, what they said, and I was really very cautious and afraid of drugs of any kind, but then literally started this project with... working with convicts. He said, well, this is a perfect way for us to test out the possibilities of behavior change, because you've got an objective behavioral measure. Will the convicts, you know, after undergoing this experience, be less likely to return? And so he wanted to do this project, and so I went to him and said, I'd like to, you know, participate in a project. And he was a little dubious, I guess, for just from knowing me or not knowing me, whatever. But then he did say, well, as part of the project, you'd have to, you know, take it, because it was part of the existential transactional approach. You didn't give drugs to people like a guinea pig kind of a laboratory situation. You took it with them. So I said, fine, you know, that's actually what I wanted to do. So
I wanted to know and hear that she was happy. And
here's the thing. In the context of saying how much you love her, which she values so extraordinarily.
Yes.
And how much you want to go see her, you are dirtying the carpet.
I am.
Which she has said, listen, it does, I wish she had said it more forcefully, because, and this is what some of the sort of direction
can be.
You think
she's afraid of me? That's what you said in your
email. I think she should say, listen, don't come in on the white carpet.
And she does sometimes.
I say it that
and
sternly.
And I don't come in.
You do.
I do.
Sternly.
Sternly.
Yes.
And I don't do it.
Yeah.
I say, okay,
and
I'm hurt.
But
then
he says,
he gets
she
mad.
Says you keep doing it.
Well, I do. I come back right. And I try again.
Every day. I've made a solution on my own, Dr. Keith.
Yeah.
I've ordered new carpet that's not white.
Well, but no, that's not a solution.
On
because
his credit card.
I was just about
thank
to...
you.
That's so... But that, again, listen, I'm not going to script how this relationship evolves, but you may need me down the road, right? Because every marriage courses through good times and bad times. This is, as you've said, the extended honeymoon period. But
when I first woke up, I don't think I would have known my own name if it wasn't stitched on my shirt.
I feel like we've been here for hours and I still can't remember anything.
But we gotta get moving while we still have our strength.
But you guys have a plan?
We keep moving in the same direction till we find the edge. This place has gotta end eventually.
We gotta keep moving.
Wait! You gotta be careful climbing around here.
All objects in the neighborhood, because its magnetism is so enormous. It's so completely and compellingly attractive that that which is drawn to it is sucked into its darkness and comes out the other side, luminous, reprocessed into ultimate radiance. And so I say that nothing is in fact a dynamic, living entity, an entity through which all beings and matter must pass in order to be transformed from the pedestrian to the sublime, from the secular to the sacred, from the earthbound to the celestial. So when I think that I have now been reduced to nothing, I take solace in it. I take pride. I draw myself up. This is the end. But is not the end a beginning? Are not all exits entrances? Is not dusk but the prelude to dawn? Is not sleep the precursor of wakefulness? There can be no spring without winter. There can be no fruitful plain without the annual river flood. So there has to be an end. We must have an end. We require an end. We demand an end. And this is the end. What's happening to me? One moment I'm completely in control, calmly alert, master of all that I survey, and at the next instant I'm dashed to the bottom of a black pool, the world a nightmare of terror from which I am unable to awake, only to suddenly see my situation is so ludicrous, so absurd, so wildly funny, I ask myself, why was I so anxious? What is it that could have been troubling me? The bombs from which I shrank before are now like punchlines, like comic revelations causing me to double over in gales of laughter. When I think of how far I've come and how far I've fallen recently, one can't help but find it diverting and funny. The roller coaster ride, the oscillations from the heavens to the depths, it's enough to make one shake one's head and giggle.
Why?
There are traps.
Well, what about the traps?
We test the rooms in the system.
Safe. I'm going in. Help! Help!
What kind of animals would do this?
Very top of government officials as to what the potential problem, national security problems are that have to pay attention to that very day. And it's quite chilling when one realizes that because there is no distinction between the work of private corporations or the work of corporations, some of these are publicly traded, but I say private to differentiate from the public sector, the work of corporations and the work of government employees. And so there is great potential to introduce things into the intelligence stream or simply to nudge things in a certain direction. I mean, there would also be the possibility of political manipulation.
Now, given the possibility, obviously, that there are accountability issues and ethics issues involved by so much privatization of intelligence work, there would also seem to me to be intelligence issues, questions involved, security issues in terms of how are these people vetted, and also, at least within the agencies, like the Central Intelligence, they have career employees who they can follow throughout decades sometimes in terms of their reliability. But how are these private contractors vetted?
That's an excellent point. At this stage of the game, it's not as frightening as what will happen over the next 5 and 10 years. The people are vetted in the same way through the security backgrounds on polygraphs, et cetera, as a government employee is. At this case, most of them are former government employees that have gone over to the private sector. But the real danger occurs when, and those people have been socialized and trained, have been held in government yoke for 20, 30 years. So it's very unlikely that they would behave against the interests of the U.S. government. But then, of course, there's this next generation of spies. What's going to happen as corporations begin to raise their own case officers, train them in corporate values rather than the... rather than the values of public service. And at the same time, we've got hemorrhaging going on at the CIA, where over half of the employees of the CIA have been there for 5 years or less. So we have a situation where it's really kids running the CIA.
Higher self, a very private, a very intimate conversation, a very private, a very intimate exploration to understand and to tell yourself the truth of what do I look to take, what do I look to give to life. For there, in that, confined, you confined much of the content of what will be your destiny. A third place to look is how do you relate to relationship? What are you looking to garner, to give and take? What are you looking to garner from the relationships in your life? We talked of it when we talked of success, very clearly of creating new strategies. We talked of it in terms of a relationship with success and maturing that relationship, elevating it to looking at the issues of aliveness, of wholeness, of individuality, of becoming more, of love, of togetherness, of soul and spirit. And too often, relating to the world, relating to people, relating to any relationships begins, certainly so, of wanting to get aliveness, get wholeness, get individuality, etc. And it needs to mature. Not that that's wrong, not that that's bad, not that it shouldn't have been so, but that it shouldn't continue to be so exclusively to get the aliveness, wholeness, and individuality, but rather to open up to a relationship where you are using or wanting a relationship to express the aliveness, the wholeness, the individuality that is already yours, to express the love, the togetherness, and the soul of spirit that you have already discovered in yourself, and out of it
to discover more of who you are, not to be better than, clearly so, but to discover more of who you are. And this exploration, not only of what you want to take and what you want to give and take from life, but also what you look to a relationship to be, can give you clues to the content of your destiny within that which is your identity. Also, look to the realness you make. We talk of realness every Sunday morning of a weekend, every Sunday morning of an intensive, every Sunday morning of a workshop. What do you give dimension to? What has mattering in your life? Where do you make profound or powerful, right, good, true choices? And what have your reflection? What do you give or pay attention to? What is your intent? Oh, it's good, we know, but what is your intent? And what action? You see, these are the places, as you look at the how you make real and what it is you do make real, as you look at how you relate and what relating means, as you look at what you are here to give and take and give to your world, and as you look at how you define your existence, the degree or the amount to which it is based upon having and doing and how much is upon being, these are the components that can reflect or reveal or show you, against the backdrop of life focuses, can show you your destiny. Show you what in you is fated, fortunate, predetermined, and what is a power that directs the course of events in your life. The third component we suggested in building the foundation of destiny is that the form is found within your image. It is played out against the backdrop of your life focuses. The content is found within your identity, but the form is found within your image. And your image, that is this sort of invisible, sort of etheric energy that holds the various identities, that holds these pearls, these well-worn pearls, these tumbled stones of your identity, these tumbled stones of thought and feeling, tumbled stones of what you say and what you do, these that become who I am, who I exist, how I exist, and who I exist as. That sense of who you are in that particular regard is held within this, strung together like pearls upon a string of image, or held in a bag or a bowl or a basket or a box, however you define it, of your image. And your image is what? The backdrop, the content, the form of your destiny can be found in your image, and that is made up of the framework, we've talked of it so often, the framework of the memories you choose to remember, of the myths you choose to carry, of your dreams and visions. It is made up of the luminous within you, your image, what you hold as luminous and what you hold as your luminous intent. It is also made up of those other than conscious parts of your consciousness, that love that is beyond your fear, for example, where miracles and mystical choice exist, that self that is beyond the delusions of grandeur and beyond the delusions of insignificance, that self that is the truer self, that self that is your future, positive future self. In those areas of your consciousness that are beyond what you are conscious of,
Anthony.
Radio shock jock.
Open Anthony.
Nice.
Why? Why does radio, out of any other medium, have to be nice? We are being now held to a standard where we have to be nice and make people feel good. Go screw!
Radio bad boys, Opie and Anthony.
Controversial radio personalities, Opie and Anthony.
Infamous DJs, Opie and Anthony.
Talk show radio hosts, Opie and Anthony.
Opie and Anthony.
And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, the front page story.
Whose fault is that delay?
Yale's undefeated football team is scheduled to play an easy game this weekend against a small Midwestern school. While Frank and Bart practice with the rest of the squad on the day before the game, our story opens in the newspaper office of Editor Walker of the New Haven Ledger.
Silence of the hams.
What's your big idea?
Hello, Reed. The only things that may touch that is toilet paper and baby wipes.
I am right now. Oh, my God.
How close did
you get to having relations with a dog.
You have to put oven mitts on all the German shepherds.
Scratch my eyes. Time for people to understand these are words. If you don't like them, turn the dial.
But enough of this palaver. Let's get the show on the road.
Just the same, the assignment stands. This is more important than just covering a game.
Oh, you mean there's a story here after all?
Well, of course, or I wouldn't have given you the assignment.
Well, what's the deal?
Uh-oh, what's wrong over there, Anthony?
This isn't a rerun of last week. Next time
What?
Next time my fucking headphones aren't checked out before the show starts, you're going to just see me throw a hissy fit.
You're cursing already, too.
Yeah, I'm cursing already because I don't even care if the audience heard that. I just want the staff to hear it. Why can't my headphones... How hard is it to put on headphones and go... Or put one to your ear and go, yeah, this works. But then I come in and it just doesn't work. I don't know what's wrong with that stupid contraption. Hi, good morning.
What was wrong with them?
Apparently, headphones are supposed to have sound come out.
Oh, they didn't have any sound.
Nothing.
I thought they were on a delay or something.
No, it's a delay I could handle. At least that's probably a button somewhere. That's just broken stuff. But I have the other headphones on now.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Opie and Anthony Show. The ONA virus spreading across America. You all right over there?
Yes. Now.
Oh, there we go. I just got to turn it up. Hold on. I got to lean way over.
We'll wait.
There it is. Good. That's better. Whew.
You remember something. Before all of this.
That new movement is
not much.
For an honorary All-America team.
Oh, sure, I've heard about that. Well, the assignment begins to make sense now.
Now, Yale has three candidates for possible All-America this year. No one on the committee will be able to cover this game, so they've asked me to assign a good man to get a line on these boys and how they do tomorrow.
Sure thing. But you said three.
Aren't you degenerate?
Hodge would be two of them. Who's the third?
I think of the surface of the water as a canvas. You know, every time I leave my house, it's like, okay, nature, what have you got for me today? Surprise me. Okay, I was going to show you my secret spot where I come. On the vineyard, there are certain spots that I go back to often under here because I know that I like the way they make me feel when I look at reflections in these bodies of water. Can you see the light? I mean, see how gorgeous those reflections are? When I look at reflections on water, my synesthesia is stimulated. I see the color that everybody else sees. But I'm also having a physical response to it. Oh, now here's the cords. Okay. I will walk along the water, and something will capture my attention. Let's go down one more. It can be a pattern. It can be a color. I want the red, so let's go one more. Sorry. It can be a design on the water that elicits a sound of a chord. Or the sound of a cello. Right now, there's a lot of string music because there are all these white boats lined up with their masts, and this particular tide is just shifting the water sort of right and left instead of up and down, and it's making chamber music. My God, this is gorgeous. And I'm just blown away. Okay, as a kid, the very important memory to me was the day we got a piano. And I was in, I think, first or second grade, and I had, you know, never played a piano. So I just thought, well, what happens when you touch it? And I struck a note on the piano, and this rectangle appeared that was filled with green light. It appeared above my eyes, outside my face, and the rectangle had very diffuse edges. And I never forgot it. But I also never mentioned it to anyone. There are a couple times in childhood that I remember saying things about the way I perceived, and people either didn't know what I was talking about or had a negative reaction, and so I didn't repeat it again. I tried to explain what I was doing, and everything I said made it worse. And then she looked up at me and said, perhaps you have synesthesia, a word I'd never heard in my life. And I didn't understand what she was saying as she explained it, but she said the right thing because I turned to her and I said, oh, is that why the first note I played on the piano was green? And when I said that, I realized that I'd never said that before to anyone, including myself. And then I went and I looked it up in the dictionary. I had a medical dictionary in my house, and I found it right between seizures and syphilis.
Good morning, sir.
Hi there, fella. Where'd you come from, out of a crater?
I guess I did. Can I see your driver's license, please?
Speed limit 60 miles an hour, right? This little horse kind of gets away from me once in a while.
Well, you're going to have to take a tighter rein because they did clock you doing almost 90 a ways back there.
Hmm.
Could I see the license?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'll do it again.
Well, police officer. Detectives.
Yes, Los Angeles.
Oh, well, that's a coincidence, you see, because I hope to change this uniform for a suit myself just any day now.
Well, luck to you there, fella.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Could you take the license out for me, please?
You got to be kidding. You going to give me a ticket?
I'm afraid so, sir. Thank you.
Take a good look at this, fella. It says Los Angeles Police Department Detective, right?
Well, I'm John Wintergreen, Stockman Motors. And I have to write you up if you just be patient for 1 minute.
You're a joke, fella. I don't know what Cracker Barrel you crawled out of, but I wish you'd crawl back in it. Now I'm going back over to L.A., and I'm going to instruct my traffic men to tag every Arizona plate that comes into that state. Right? And they're going to give them your badge number and your name. Then all them son of a bitches are going to come back over here and climb your ass. You got that, officer?
Can you sign that, please?
Yeah.
Context is changing. And that has to change our ethical evaluation of copyright. Now, the basic principles of ethics are not changed by advances in technology. They're too fundamental to be touched by such contingencies. But our decision about any specific question is a matter of the consequences of the alternatives available. And the consequences of a given choice may change when the context changes. And that is what is happening in the area of copyright law, because the age of the printing press is coming to an end, giving way gradually to the age of the computer networks.
Thank you. Fucking degenerate!
How do I look? Feel like a butcher or a surgeon or some shit, you know what I mean? Feel so fucking ridiculous in this thing, but I guess you need it, huh?
Yeah. I'll tell you something. Whoa. Excuse me. Wait a sec.
How was it?
Good.
Goddamn, motherfucker. With this money, it better be. Shit. What'd you go for, local? What, European?
American.
An American. Ain't that a bitch? Big spender. I'd love it. I just fucking love that shit. You know what they got for me? They told me they lined up something real special. I've been waiting for almost a week for this shit. I mean, like, for 50 grand, she better be worth it. You know what I mean? But it's supposed to be real. It's supposed to be a real rush, right? It's like a real fucking rush, right? Come here. I've been all over the world. You know, I've been everywhere. And the bottom line is, pussy's pussy. You know, every strip club, every whorehouse, it's all the same shit. You know, I just fucked a girl 2 days ago, and I don't even remember the color of her tits. But this is something you never forget, right? Right?
Never.
Never, right.
Now that is sick.
Ugh, are you watching this?
No thanks, I don't look anymore.
Let me show you something, this is pretty sweet. Check this out. What do you think of this? Come on, let me see yours. Come on, let me see yours. We're all in the same club. What? I'll be out in a second, guy. Can I ask you something personal? Do you mind? How'd you do it? I mean, did you do it real slow? Or did you just get it over with right away? Because that's why I asked for the fucking gun. Because I just wanted to just fucking do it quick. You know what I mean? I just wanted to just get it over with. But now I'm thinking maybe want to feel it. You know what I mean? I just want to fucking feel that shit. So I'm thinking, what do you think I should do?
Don't you ever worry about what? One day, you're going to wake up inside.
Make it quick.
Make it quick. Yes. Yeah, that's... No! Fuck that shit! Fuck this too fucking American, dude! I'm going fucking old school! Who wants this, motherfucker? Who wants this shit? Come on, motherfucker! Bring it!
Computer networks and digital information technology are bringing us back to a world more...
And when this occurred, what they did was, by mutual consent, they went to the priest and had the union dissolved.
We made them dance, and the thing was really, it was like a cultural orgasm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it was, cultural orgasm. You know, and
the definition of sex.
Sex is something you do when you can't sleep.
Who was your first woman?
Well, I was the 300-pound whore.
Jesus.
I didn't have my first piece of ass till I was 24 years old.
Really?
Well, I wasn't a pretty guy, and I didn't have any money. I was a bum.
Yeah.
Sorry, you know, I never went to the high school ball or anything like that. I was an outcast. So I met this lady in the bar. She seemed to like me. First woman ever liked me, you know. She was big, but she was a woman. What the hell? And I was drunk, and she was drunk. We drank our beer, and then I got into it. So I worked, and I worked, and I worked, and I worked. Because I wanted to prove I was a man, you know, first time. Boy, I really tried. I said, boy, if this is sex, it sure is lousy. Is this what they've been talking about in the high school locker rooms? So I finally, I don't know if I made it, I probably did. But anyhow, I woke up, we're both laying there, and she's snoring on her back. And I look over, this huge beast is laying there. And we've broken the bed, both legs and the butt. We're like on a hill. The bed was down like that. I rushed to my pants, my wallet was missing. I said, you fucking whore, you took my wallet. She said, no, 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 I didn't. I said, get out of here, you bitch. She said, I don't know where you got it up your cunt, this room up there. I started to learn how to talk this way. Then I tied up the legs. While I was tying up the legs of the bed, I reached under it. I felt something on the rug. It was my wallet. But, oh, that poor old girl. I felt awful, you know. Forget the image, I have a heart. And I said, oh, shit, that she may not have been much, but I accused her wrongly. So right away, I ran down to the bar where I'd met her. Evidently, she told the bartender, and I walked in. I said, listen, yes, I forget her name. I said, so is Marie here? The guy said, we can't serve you.
Played on the piano was Green. And when I said that, I realized that I'd never said that before to anyone, including myself. And then I went and I looked it up in the dictionary. I had a medical dictionary in my house. And I found it right between seizures and syphilis. So that didn't sound so great. You know, it sounded like a disorder. It didn't sound like a gift. People have known about it for hundreds of years, but it was not a subject. It was not out there. It became more interesting to scientists when they invented the PET scan because they had scientific proof that it occurred, that people were not delusional, that they were not being metaphoric. Okay, right now I'm photographing what looks to me like sound waves right there. If you look at the water instead of looking at the world above sea level, it is this amazing floating universe of paintings that float by whether you notice them or not. God, I wish I could think of how to describe what this sensation is. I often think that what I've done for the last 20 years is photograph my emotions. Because although I'm using the external world, I'm not photographing it. I'm taking a picture of how I feel at the moment that I snap the picture. Ooh, I just got this sensation that I live for. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but the way the light is hitting the water, it gives me a physical sensation, which is ecstatic. Some researchers believe that everyone is born synesthetic, that babies are synesthetic, but that sometime before the age of 3, those connections get lost. So my goal is really to help people to see in a way that I think really is available to them. You know, once that curtain is pulled aside, if you close it again, it's by choice, but it's, you know that there's something on the other side.
XCRB moves up.
9:30 in Los Angeles.
There. This is 50,000 watt clear channel XERB, Radio North America, Central Studios, Los Angeles, 1090 on your dial.
You're listening to DVD Talk Radio.
Today on DVD Talk Radio, we talk to Shane Carruth, who is the writer, director, producer, editor, and just about everything else for the film Primer. Now, Primer took the top prize at the 2004 Sundance Film Festival, and it takes an interesting look at the issue of time travel and the effect it has on relationships. Shane joins us today to talk about the Primer DVD and some of the things that went into making this ultra-low-budget but incredible film. Thank you for taking some time to talk to us today.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
It's great to finally see Primer out on DVD.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that.
So tell me the backstory on this film. When did it start, and, you know, kind of leading up to its entrance into Sundance?
Well, let's see. It started. How did it start? I was a software engineer for a couple of years out of school, and in my spare time, I was always writing short stories and working on a novel that I'll never finish. And eventually I moved into screenplay territory. It was just sort of drawn to it. And I don't know, I started seeing a lot of independent films that had, you know, small budgets but a pretty big impact story-wise. In the Company of Men was kind of a revelation for me when I saw that. And so as I was writing, I started thinking more and more about actually, you know, producing the script. I was really naive, and I don't even think it occurred to me that it was possible to just shop the script around or try to get it optioned or made in some other conventional way. And so I spent a year writing Primer, just the idea for it. I don't know. I was really taken with it. I liked it a lot. And so I spent a year writing it, and that was also kind of the pre-production. I didn't realize it at the time, but, you know, I would secure locations and before I could feel like I could actually write the scene fully for them. And I would include, like, dolly shots and stuff in the script, which now I know you're not really supposed to do, but if you're just writing. And then I would go to the rental facility and see, you know, how much does a dolly cost? Can I even afford it? You know, how much track do you get? And so I was sort of just building the pre-production throughout the year as I was writing. And then, I don't know, it's basically just one naive thing after another. I don't know what I was thinking. I look back now and I don't know why I thought I could try to do that.
And then there's all the marketing that's going on in schools, where corporations have essentially a captive audience. So, you know, schools are desperate for money because there's not enough federal funding for schools, and they're turning to corporations because they feel like when they get these computers, they're free. Well, you know, they're not free. The children pay for them because of the advertising. Children pay for advertising. They pay with their health. They pay with their sense of well-being. It's wrong. I happen to feel very strongly about freedom of speech and about the First Amendment here in the United States. I will defend the First Amendment up, down, and backwards. But a corporation is not a person. And marketing is not free speech. I will defend the First Amendment up, down, and backwards. But a corporation is not a person. And marketing is not free speech.
I would get a common laborist job somewhere for a week or two, then live in a cheap room and type. I used to live on one candy bar a day. Cost a nickel. I always remember the candy bar was called Payday. That was my payday, 5 cents. And that candy bar tasted so good. I'd have it at night. I'd take one bite, and it was so beautiful.
You know, anyway, you never cure her.
This doctor saved my life.
You want to hear some Clapton? What is this?
Steppenwolf.
What's the song?
The Pusher.
Oh, good. Audie really wants to hear it. This is like the time I overdosed on acid, and my friend started playing The Grateful Dead.
Oh, jeez.
Don't be depressed. We all know you had your drug problems.
Hey, we didn't think you were out of work because everything was...
I'm still trying to figure out how Artie has those heroin pills.
And we're going to get to the bottom of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big talk.
That's the big talk right now.
You know,
What am I, crazy one?
This show is... I remember you said this to me one time where, like, sometimes on the air...
You say something?
In your head... You want to be honest because you know it's so entertaining and interesting, and then you just blurt something out. Look, I've had a lot of troubles in the past with a bunch of different things, and right. Over the years, I've snorted heroin from time to time, and
you never told me that.
Yeah, I was going to say this is new information.
Yeah.
Is this the time to time include recently?
God, I'm sorry, Mom and everybody.
Yeah.
No. It's been, remember last year when I was out for 4 days?
Yes.
I fell into an old trap that I used to fall into on the road doing stand-up.
Right.
And I never shot it ever. I would snort
it. Right.
And it just helped going to sleep in hotels and on planes and for... From like from February to like June, I existed for 4 months, just going from sort of
heroin
fix to fix,
yeah,
and on the road doing stand up, and then
wow,
when I had to go into doing the movie, I said I got to just completely
clean up,
get it out of my life,
right?
So I came back from a gig in Chicago. And I had nothing. I ran out of stuff, and I had nothing, and I was in a panic. But I said, fuck it, I got to just do this.
Because at that point, you were probably really addicted, right?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I went to work that Monday, and then when I went home, it was, like, too crazy,
So you were really detoxing?
Yes.
When you were out?
Yes.
I see.
That's what I was doing.
So what you were saying?
I was in a
shitty way, and then a doctor saved my life. He introduced me to these pills that get you back.
You say you were in a shitty way, in other words, because you're detoxing from heroin, you start to get the shakes, you start to vomit, it's really
what
hard.
What are your withdrawal symptoms?
You just get sick. You get a cold sweat and...
it's uncomfortable.
And yeah. So when you did the intervention on KC, were you...
Were you on heroin when you did that?
Oh, jeez.
Know this, or you kept it a secret?
No, it's... it's something I shouldn't have said.
It's not what?
It's something I shouldn't have said. This is terrible.
No, it's all right.
It's okay, Artie. You're not doing it now.
No.
You're off it.
I shouldn't have said this.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think you said anything wrong.
Nah, this is one time I'm bummed out.
Oh, you are? Then sit down and relax.
I'm bummed out about
it. Artie, so what? You've had your problems. Everybody knows.
We all knew you had your problems, and you never cured. We know that.
This doctor saved my life.
You want to hear some Clapton?
Things are too good. Things are happening too smooth, too easy. Everything's happening too well, too much like clockwork. Something's gonna go wrong. Something is gonna happen, and then, ba-boom!
Okay, start from here. Come on, turn. Not slowly, not so quick. And look at me with your beautiful eyes. Now this way. Straight. Now say something nice. Come on, we're recording sound so you can say something. Don't be so sorry, okay? You're behaving like a 6-year-old, okay? Come on, look at me with your beautiful eyes. And right, okay, that's it. You're all done, sweetie.
Now that is sick.
Billowing smoke as it's coming forward. My wife was inside the car, staying warm, but I was on the hood. There's people standing by here as it's going by. The traffic, of course, was stopped to allow the train. Oh, now here I was hanging out shooting this, and Canada. It's Canada. It's cold. Snow, the scenery was really spectacular. See, because the train is moving forward, the smoke is coming back. It was not extremely windy, but the smoke did billow. And oh, we're about to go into a tunnel. Yeah, we're in the tunnel for about a minute. It got colder when we were in the tunnel. It was one of the darker tunnels in Canada.
It's the Sam and Jim Go to Hollywood show, May 6, 2005.
Oh, he's a writer. Do you know any directors?
Hello, everybody. This is the Sam and Jim Go to Hollywood show. It's May 6, 2005. I'm Sam.
I'm Jim.
And when we last left off, we were waiting for word from HBO because we had pitched them a show that we thought was absolutely terrific. And you know what? They seem to think so, too.
And for those of you who have been waiting for the couple of weeks since our last podcast on pins and needles to find out what happened, absolutely nothing has happened yet.
That's right. And absolutely nobody was waiting on pins and needles. So that's really a set.
Well, you know.
So I think of him sometimes when I see that sequence. Kurt Russell does some great comedy in this little scene. Because I love the fact that he's been married for 22 years, but he has a dim memory of when he was a single guy out there, a social animal like Tom's character. So there's a jealousy and a melancholy that's happening between these two guys who've both been racked by love. And it's one of my favorite things in the movie.
Like, what?
Kurt's delivery there. Like, what?
Oh, God.
In a minute here, you're going to see Tom doing kind of an odd dance. He's actually listening to Over the Hills and Far Away by Led Zeppelin. One of the songs we used to play a lot on the set.
Time is not our friend.
And so you can kind of imagine it. Many times I've cried.
Hey, Joey, look at this little tootsie. Get a number. Hey, want something to eat? Drink. Just business. Here's the deal. We show the film, we take half the profit. Come on, kiddo. You come to my turf with a dirty little movie. But you can't copyright your dirty little movie. How do I know that Joey over there didn't make it? Why don't I just give Joey half the profit? You want to show a movie in my house, you pay my rent. Listen, shithead, I don't have to give you a goddamn thing. But I'm being nice here. You want to argue? Fine, you get nothing. Get the hell out of here. Fucking degenerate!
Oh, it's just like right there. That was like, it was like, hello. You know, it's like, what? You saw in the back of his car and I had been cutting chickens? It's like, hello, ding, 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 ding. And then the watch, I mean, it was like one after the other, after the other, after the other, just like dominoes line out. But yet.
Want a beer?
Oh, come
Come on, have a beer with your bro. Come on, you lightweight. Have a beer. I'll get your fucking beer.
Gary Metaphysics, some new guys have been hanging on to it. I'm sorry. Well, your coin slots have been jangled regularly, although they have been asymmetrical. Everything's got to be translated some kind of orthogonal, this man's system. It is fascinating, especially the thing that makes it so fascinating is the thing that makes it so expanding horizontally fascinating. Sometimes even the rhythm, although I think it's highly overrated in music. It's even highly overrated in what passes for music, and especially for what passes for just sound, which is what most music is these days, because, you know, the artists known as musicians have been both regaled and put on the spit for some numbers of decades now in the modern Western jukebox, media reverb. Everybody's after. Everybody's doing it now. Oh, what's in it for me? Well, I'll tell you what's in it for me, punk. Just musing along with the rules.
Or as it's better known here, the real world. Accessories after the fact. New rule. Martha Stewart does not need an electronic ankle bracelet. There's a caravan of news vans on her driveway, choppers overhead, and paparazzi with telephoto lenses in the trees. Where the hell is she going to go? Plus, what sense does it make to remand a home diva to her home? That's like sentencing Kirstie Alley to check in nightly at IHOP. Ad nauseam. New rule. Stop running TV ads I don't understand. IBM has one I'm not sure is advertising weapons of mass destruction or stool softener. Then there's the one with clouds moving in fast motion and some Buddhist monks on a cell phone and James Earl Jones saying, "We're the world leader in virtual network upstream data retrieval." What?
I thought you looked really great under the lights. You're a knockout. A real star material.
You think so? I was awfully nervous.
We'll have to work on that accent, of course, but it'd be no fun if you were perfect. Say, why don't you have dinner with me tonight? I could give you a few pointers. We could get to know each other a little better.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I can't. I already have a boyfriend.
Oh, come on. It'll be fun. It's always an advantage to know the producer personally.
I really have to go.
But try and do a girl a favor.
Real question about what I think's going to happen to her. I think she's going to die.
Really?
Yeah. I personally, my big money's on Lindsay Lohan for dying. Mm-hmm. For dying soon.
That's
honest
to God. That's what the smart
money is. The smart money's on Lindsay.
She's in rehab. You can't get to her, but you could get to Paris.
All right.
Yeah, I could.
Did you take the hog here this morning?
Yeah, I rode the bike in this morning.
All right. How about you saddle up on that hog? How far away is this place from where we are?
It's in Bel Air. We're on the Miracle Mile. How far is that?
Yeah, we're about 6 miles as the hog flies. Should be able to
4 minutes.
Make that in about 15 minutes. Dooch man,
yeah.
Saddle up, take the cell phone. You're going to the Hilton Manor.
Gone, man. Cool.
All right.
We'll,
what does he like me to do when I get there?
Not sure.
Yeah, no, me either, but no.
No,
you know what?
We will.
Scott, meow, meow, freemanz.com, meow. Here's a guy dressed as Darth Vader, bearing a sign that says, "The People Strike Back." There is no art in war. The axis of evil begins in D.C.
Oof.
the origin of evil, perhaps?
No, because they got the idea from the Europeans, didn't they? Promote peace, not terrorism.
Sorry, that was a nerd joke. We're at MIT, remember?
Oh,
no wonder we didn't get it.
Hey, here's one for George Bush from the Mennonite Church of Rochester, Minnesota. War is not pro-life.
Exactly.
Here's an international no bullshit sign. Can I say that?
Yeah, we said it before. You can say it again.
Here's the Rhythm Workers Union. I think you interviewed Richard Hughes, didn't you?
Nicole Richie, she does that.
Nicole Richie down there, probably just coming home.
Yeah, she'll probably be on the wrong side.
She'll be driving. You'll recognize it.
Notice when such a raid is about to take place. The Justice Department spokesman called that disappointing.
The action in 1970 was extreme. People hated it. They thought imitating an instrument was okay, but a human voice? No. Still, some of us really liked this Ninth Symphony realization, and we thought that if only we could come up with a proper introductory piece of music located just before the Ninth, we could better prepare timid listeners for the concept of vocoding. Gradually introducing more and more, until by the end, the Beethoven would not sound so intimidating. Thus, the origin of time steps was largely pragmatic rather than artistic, although by the end it really had become a genuine composition on its own. Here's how the first bit of vocoding was introduced in time steps with a bit of Gregorian chant.
Some could call it garbage art or low rent culture media, or the imply, or conceptual art. Just double something if you want.
Later in time steps, there appears this duet.
One little lattice work there. But I mean, we have to be ahead of the curve, not behind it. Any good surfer dude knows that. So what already has gone before is going on now and is going on in the very, very, very short near-term horizon could be considered to have already gone on, leaving us somewhere ahead of it. Which is where we feel comfortable being. Of course, some people would say that's nowhere at all. But you have to be somewhere. So you might as well hide out. But don't pretend
reaction
that you're
to the time
not actually
Ninth
here.
Symphony pairing was very favorable.
That's
the gentle
passé.
Introduction gambit had paid off. Even Stanley Kubrick surprised us
metaphysics,
by deciding to use both realizations.
3 W's on the front,
Orange.
.com on the
However,
ass.
In spite of the success,
but don't
Rachel and I soon
make
decided
a
that the
hyphen ass
had
out of it.
But limited use.
That's
recently, the situation has improved as you
already
can
gone
right
on.
Now.
And probably
this
younger than you.
Being synthesized using two large synton vocoders with pitch control by a
I would just say, do your
track.
Own.
Is a very intelligible and
that's about the only real media today, unless you want to go to foreign films.
And that combination,
you know, that's so much reading.
Is really what the best of electronic music is all about.
Vocoders turn out to
unless
be
you're going to walk through life with a meditator's
vocal.
Profile.
Here's an early such experiment on the lower
which is my personal pref.
Things.
And no kind of crashing can take that preference away from me, my friends. I don't need no fucking backup.
It's probably a good idea here to tell you that all of the above music was done with a single 8-track Ampex and a 2-track, before anyone convinces you that you really need 24, 32, or more tracks to do serious electronic music.
I wrote 4 or 5 short stories a week during this time, and I had them out everywhere. They came bouncing back.
I was laying in bed one night, and I said, I'll just quit, to hell with it. Another voice in me said, don't quit. Save a tiny little ember, a spark, and never give them that spark, because as long as you have that spark, you can start the greatest fire again. I was working at a lady's dress shop, and they made me work 2 hours overtime. I still kept the spark. I said, I will not quit. I will not let them kill me. So I'm walking out, and two guys in the office smoking cigars. Hey, Bukowski, come here a minute. They were laughing at me, and I knew they were laughing at me because I was just a slave, and I'm standing there. So I went home. It was a very long walk, and I remember the trees were frozen. It was in winter. It was in St. Louis, and the landlady had put these letters under my door, and I opened the one, and it said, we've accepted your short story. I said, oh, the fire I saved has a chance. But the funniest thing is they took a bad story.
O'Brien asked Winston, are you willing to swear that you would do anything to overthrow the party? And Winston says, yes, I swear that I would do anything to overthrow the party.
Because we're going forward by hope and not backwards by fear. While we're here today, it does not stand to reason to have an unfinished confrontation with Al-Qaeda, ignore the Middle East, and then fast forward to Iraq. If we can say it with North Korea, let's choose negotiation over confrontation. Say to Iraq, let's choose negotiation over confrontation. We're not fighting about security. We're fighting about hegemony and oil and defense contracts. We deserve better. We deserve better.
Are they hurting you?
She's all right, aren't she, Max?
Oh, no, I'm getting rope bones.
All right, okay, come on, let's get a move on. Betty, stand over there.
I'd like this young lady to look very strict. I'd like her to look very strict. Mm.
He'd like you to look very strict.
Come on, my dear. More passion. Fire. More tigress.
Oh, very good. Dominate the men who adore you. Cross them with your exquisite high heels.
There were dozens of companies that were also trading with the Hitler regime. There were companies in Canada, there were many companies in the United States. Standard Oil continued to sell petroleum and refinery goods and services to the Third Reich right through the war.
Yeah, by the
IBM
way, fuck
was a
you.
Special position. IBM controlled by monopoly its technology. It was the holder of the magic of tabulation and data processing. They controlled 95% of the marketplace worldwide, and they litigated against anyone who tried to horn in on their profit stream. As late as 1942, IBM was suing printers in Germany for trying to print punch cards that were compatible with IBM machines. Throughout the early 40s, during the wartime years, IBM was suing a Bull company in France to prevent them from selling machines to the Third Reich. Only IBM could provide these machines to the Third Reich. Only IBM could print billions of punch cards. Only IBM could provide the spare parts. And only IBM could lease these machines not sell them, and repair these machines and service these machines once a month on site, even if that site was Dachau, Buchenwald, or any other concentration camp. Even if Hitler had amassed millions of these machines, they only had a 2 to 6 week supply of punch cards. If Watson only would have stopped, and I refer now to Thomas J. Watson, the president of IBM, if Watson and IBM had only stopped printing the punch cards, then Hitler's operation would have ground to a halt. Now, no one is saying, and it's important to include this, no one is saying that the Holocaust would not have happened without IBM, because the Holocaust would have occurred under any conditions and any circumstances. In the East, Jews were marched one by one out of town and shot with simple bullets, and they were laid crisscross in tank trenches. It's true, only people killed, not machines. But there was a point when the Nazis understood that they needed a technological solution to the murder of the Jews, and they stopped shooting them in trenches one by one, and they started gassing them in gas chambers, thousands at a time. That was a technological improvement. The Reich was organized. Of course, we've all heard of Nazi efficiency, but here we also had American ingenuity, and that American ingenuity was in the name of IBM.
All I knew was that it would be an ensemble cast, and it would sort of speak to my feeling in my life at the time when I was writing it. So I had a lot of freedom, and that's kind of how I work. I mean, I just write kind of blindly moving forward.
Pain, but it doesn't stop there. It continues to where we're going to focus tonight, in those adolescent years, usually associated with puberty. Thereabout in that time, the pubescent shame. And then it doesn't stop there, it comes again, yet other waves and what we call the adult onset shame that can occur at any time during the grown-up years.
And it's sort of like characters reveal themselves to me, and honestly, like, so much of the kind of interweaving of things happens kind of organically in this way, where I feel like I'm kind of catching up with the various relationships between the characters, you know, before I even consciously can see them.
Does it come from story form?
And it comes in these four distinctive waves, not just once and then it's over, and hopefully you can go back and deal with it, but it keeps happening. And if one level goes unattended, it tends to accumulate, until it becomes for many too heavy, too difficult to deal with. Also, the current trend of dealing with shame is in a sense to focus on one wave and one wave only. Now please do not get us wrong, we're very excited and tremendously pleased that there are people out there dealing now openly. A decade ago you couldn't have talked about it the way we are and the way others are beginning to talk about it now. And we are very grateful, certainly so, for the John Bradshaws of the world and the work that he and others like him have done with shame. But the problem can be, and will be for many, that they tend to focus on one wave and thus teach, and those who listen learn, to deal with one wave. And they do it beautifully and they do it successfully. And they clear and release the shame that came from the abuse when they were 6 months or 2 years or 5 or 10, or from the abandonment or from what they were taught or from the alcoholic parentage and thus the adult child of, etc. And they succeed, and many of you have done that as well. But you will often find your success sabotaged by the unattended levels. Because I cleared out the fact that I was abused when I was 3, and there I think I'm done with shame. But then I get hit in the back of the head with what happened when I was 7 or 10 or 14 or 32.
And the first poem I read was called Oh Yes. There are worse things than being alone, but it often takes decades to realize this. And most often when you do, it's too late. And there's nothing worse than too late. So I just closed the book, handed it back to him, but I've never forgot that poem. There are worse things than being alone. And like I said, the reason I mentioned the girl that I was with, because I sort of looked at her in a different light after that. I looked at her, I'm like, you know, there are worse things than being alone. and I don't want to wait until it's too late. You know, so I'm... Go away. Go away. Let me just worry about other things besides you.
When I was interviewing the managers of export processing zones in Asia, as well as managers of individual factories, when I would ask them why the wages were so low and why the conditions under which the workers lived were so difficult, they really sort of poo-pooed the concern. And the way they explained that is that the people who work in these factories are overwhelmingly young women between the ages of 18 and 25. And I would hear over and over again that these young women didn't really need the kind of money that could support families, that these were just temporary jobs, that they were only doing it for a few years, that they could send a little money back to their families who lived in the countryside. And they lived like it was sort of a dorm room set up, 12 to a room and so on, bunk beds, very cramped quarters. These were conditions where one could never raise a family. And in fact, there are horror stories coming out of the zones of workers being routinely fired when their bosses find out that they're pregnant. In maquiladoras in Mexico, of routinely doing pregnancy testing before workers are hired, doing sanitary pad checks to make sure that nobody is pregnant. It's an infantilization of the workforce that is going on overwhelmingly in the export processing zones. They're sort of engineering a kind of ageless workforce where no one has to be responsible for families.
Okay, the thing that they have at Dimension, maybe they didn't even read the script.
It's got a male lead, just like your movie.
And basically, they're looking for a reason to say no, or they're afraid. They don't want to really, it might piss off somebody, or maybe a star will know that some other stars attached to a similar project, and it's not similar. The point is...
Very ambivalent about what was going to happen in Afghanistan. On the one hand, here was an opportunity for this very brutal regime to end, but it also meant...
You're running up against people's deep-seated fear about what else could be out there.
Right, that they're going to invest a lot of time and effort, and then someone else is going to already have swiped it out from under them, and they didn't know.
Right.
And then the other part of that, too, is that, it's just timing. You know, you come out with this great idea, and, Dimension just optioned us an idea very much like that, but then... 2 years from now, that's still sitting on a shelf somewhere. You come out with the idea again, and everyone's going, oh, hey, right. That's a great idea.
Because most of the people who were working at that level 2 years ago are gone.
Yeah. They're in Palm Beach, or else they're working at Wendy's.
Right.
There's nothing they can do about it. That's what's so amazing about this. You know, and it shows the absurdity of what it takes, you know, to nail somebody these days, and how everything's got to be perfectly in line. And
I get sabotaged by the shame from the unattended levels and feel, I didn't do it good enough. I really am flawed. I really am defective. I took so-and-so's workshop that's guaranteed to work, and it didn't work for me. Because you didn't deal with all four. It's not enough to spin one plate. You gotta get all four spinning and then keep them spinning until you're done with the shame.
And what the details are, I mean, it's just fascinating. I mean, I don't know much about it, right? So they could trick me and manipulate me. That's fine, but I felt like they were presenting me with something that was honest.
That was as close to reality as any film can pop.
I was 24, 25. She was around 35. And she just accepted me. I don't understand it, but she was a real fine-looking woman with body and good sense, a little bit mad.
He seemed to be all alone, except for this woman he lived with that he would refer to sometimes in a derogatory way, the way men refer to women. I saw her once. And it fit his description of her, which was she had a fat ass and was good to lean up against in the wintertime.
Also, a reason for some that it is particularly difficult is that to work with shame requires intensity and patience. It requires not just feeling with the anger, but feeling the anger in the intensity and the depth of the rage that the anger holds.
Possibly get.
Right.
Because there's always a limitation. I don't believe you can ever reach 100% because there's no way, because you can't ever match every movement and every tick and everything, but you can approximate it. And I think this film, Bats in the 90s, is close.
And so now another guy who's, and it's not in active development anymore, it's dead, so now maybe they will take it. But let's say you've got a great idea. In the history of humanity, no one has ever come up with an idea even remotely similar to this. And you pitch it to someone, and they say, that's a great idea, you're going to run up to the next biggest issue. And this is the issue that we ran up against, which is, it's not marketable. Or it's not a perfect fit for a male, and it's almost always a male star.
Right. They don't know how to sell the movie.
Right. For example, if you have a movie that's difficult and weird and kind of arty.
The way men refer to women.
Obviously, you're not going to get $80 million to make it unless Bruce Willis signs up. And then you have a movie, or you have a movie like I Heart Huckabees, which is this really weird movie, and it's got all these great stars, Dustin Hoffman and Lily Tomlin and Mark Wahlberg.
And David O. Russell, it's his pet project. He's been thinking about it for a long time. He really wants to make it happen. So it happens because he's got big names, and he's a...
Fat ass was good to lean up against.
She had beautiful legs, wore high heels, knew how to cross her legs with the skirt just so, kicking the heel like this and talking all kinds of shit, you know.
If you like them big. You know, she did not have the good looks of sophistication or a classy woman.
With beautiful legs, you always figure, even though you've only been there once or twice, there might be something else up there besides a cunt, you know? There might be something really marvelous this time. It could be a cunt, but it could be... Something about looking at the legs makes you dream. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a cunt, but I'm saying you always imagine some extra magic when you're looking at the outside portion of the female.
Funny you now, Ralph. Now you're saying funny, creative shit. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, dude.
Who is this?
What are you trying out? Not to pay me? Is that the experiment we're working with?
To pay, I'm not going to pay you, but this isn't Ralph, so who am I...
So how is that my problem?
It's not your problem. Who am I speaking with?
You're really fucking pissing me off. You really are.
Good, well, come on down here. I'll smack the shit out of you, and then you'll even be more pissed off. How's that?
Fuck off, Ralph.
Go fuck your mother.
You're saying stupid shit.
Go fuck your mother.
You fucking piece of shit.
Go fuck your mother, you cunt.
You faggot.
You cunt.
You cocksucker.
Ralph and John.
Listen to me, dude. Dude, listen, we're in the same business, and I'm saying there's sort of...
The only business I'm in is fucking you in the ass. How's that?
Usually, if not that night...
Come over, I'll fuck you in the ass, and I'll give you $5,000, okay?
Oh, God.
Ralph and John.
I was not upset at the beginning of this conversation, nor was I upset yesterday. I just mentioned, you know what, I haven't gotten the money yet.